So you're not down with my tea? You're not down with lemon, ginger and manuka tea?
No, not really. No, I mean, if it ain't brown with milk in it, it is neat tea. It's just flavoured cordial, isn't it, what you're drinking?
Lemon, ginger, manuka, honey. It's good for the throat. Come on, mate.
It is, yeah, I suppose. I mean, I wouldn't drink it, but I mean, you're the one drinking it. So there you go.
Great. Maybe we can ask the chat. Hello, everyone. Oi, oi. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Blue Abroad Show. It's Monday, the 1st of May, 2023. We are sitting here on the Blue Abroad Show after a 108-point victory. I'm Terry. This is Pom. Hello, mate.
Hey, up. How we doing? How good's this, eh? We haven't done a show like this since, what, 2011? If we were still here, 100-point win. So this is the first 100-point win ever discussed on YouTube.
Wow. This is the first 100-point win we've ever had to review. No, it's good. It's good. I was saying throughout the day, everyone at work and whoever I've been speaking to about the game, I don't remember many times from first bounce to final siren, not a single bit of stress. I think it was really needed for the soul, like seriously needed for the soul. Just very rarely do we get a week where we're not, you know, built up with frustration during a game.
Yeah, and as Christian points out, there's something wrong. I'm here after a win. So maybe now I can be the specialist in losing therapy and the specialist in winning by 100 therapy. That can be my new string to my bow.
Well, yes, maybe you can. I think we should start the show with the fan cam compilation because it's a good vibe. Good evening to all of you that are tuning in. Good evening to those of you that are just settling in. It's going to be a fun show tonight. It's going to be a bit more chilled. But also, there's a task at hand because, yeah, it was a good week, but straight away, focus straight on Friday night because we were coming off a really poor fortnight and we have to get to work and get focused and switched on to Friday night pretty quickly, let's be honest.
Work to do. The hard bit's done. You've got the 100-point win. You haven't had one of them for 10 years. Well, even over 10 years. Jesus, 12 years.
Yeah.
God, I was young, carefree, happy. There we are. But yeah, like you say, next 6 weeks, this is proper football, next 6 weeks.
Yeah. So we're going to touch on the game. We're going to touch on the storylines. We're going to touch on the trends for the season, the VFL, AFLW news. We have a start date. We're going to touch on round 8. We're going to get some team selection in from you all in the audience. So stay tuned. Before that, let's show the fan cam compilation.
Oh, thank fuck.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the fan cams. The round 7 fan cams after the Blues beat the Eagles 23 goals 14, 152 to 6 goals 8, 44 out in the West. We did it. We finally did it. We put a team to the sword. We asked for blood. We were looking for blood and we got blood.
Pleasing performance. Very, very happy. I don't think we can be too displeased with a 100-point win, can we?
That was easy, wasn't it, eh? No, mate. don't know what you're all fucking worried about. Honestly, yeah, poor side. But every fucking week I've got to hear percentage and put sides away. So now we've taken that off you. Give them a little bit of fucking credit. That was hard draft because I've got DMs from people who said danger game.
The dynamic duo, like, I know Harry didn't have an impact on the scoreboard, but it's what he did around the ball. He put pressure on, he took marks, he laid tackles. Like, even though he's not kicking the goals and Charlie kicked all the goals, Harry still did all the one percenters that we require of our forwards and that pressure. So I want him to keep going. And I want the whole group to galvanise now and go, we can do this.
The last time Carlton conceded exactly 8 behinds against West Coast in Perth, whilst also kicking 100 points, was 1995.
No way.
This win, I think, will be so much better. It'll be twice as good if we can get the win next week. I think Chera is starting to finally, you know, show his real class as a footy player. Like, this is a real good pack by him.
When you've got Harry and Charlie up there, which Charlie's hands just outrageous, but where he can take anything. But when you've got these targets, I mean, going back and forward and then giving the defence time to set up just doesn't work. So I really hope we do a similar brand of football next week against Brisbane and not be scared of them.
Need I say more?
Kent as well, I thought was fantastic as well. I could just tell with him from the first minute or two, he took off a couple of minutes at mark, and I'm like, yeah, he didn't have a good game.
100 points, good win, 100 points. 100 points is a good win, nice relaxing night. They took a chance, they did a few mistakes, but West Coast didn't really punish you, so they kept doing it again, and it kind of kept working out. Next week, you do a mistake, they're going to punish you. How many times did West Coast kick it out on the full deal?
He's definitely our number one ruckman.
No. That was a great fucking win. Had to suck. Great fucking win. Finally happened. The nail just, something happened and it's fine. They woke up.
Paddy Cribbs, yeah. I could not ask more from a captain. He is the best captain at the Carlton Football Club since Steve Kernan.
Oh, I'm absolutely gassed, mate. It feels so good. It was just amazing.
When's the last time you saw a 100-point win?
None that I remember. I was alive for the last one, but don't remember it too well. But I reckon if we keep trying what we did tonight, going with the same mindset, it should be good for the next.
And that's the fan cams. Goodness me. It's such a relief to be not questioning existence after a performance. We are a passionate bunch. We get right behind this club. We care a lot, and that's where a lot of the frustration comes from. So this week was a really interesting week, and to the club's credit, they did what they needed to do. They absorbed the pressure, they got to work, and they did something as a team that they have never done before together. So I think that needs to have some credit given to it, but there's also probably just a level of perspective as well, given where West Coast are at in their story. So it's going to be a good week. Sigh of relief. Thanks, guys. Go Blues. And that's that.
Got to say, your reaction when old Mark Icon, the fan cams came on, he just started laughing. It reminded me a little bit of that scene when the Joker was caught in Michael Keaton's Batman and the cops are just looking at him as he's laughing manically, like wondering what's going to happen. Serious Batman vibes.
I didn't know what to do. I was like, is this part of the spiel? I didn't know how to deal with it.
Oh dear. Happy days.
Yeah,
I mean, 100-point win. Sabi, let's get straight into it. Usually I'm dreading you say, Pom, give me your thoughts. Now I'm excited.
Yeah, let's do it. So we're going to talk about round 7 against the West Coast Eagles. Now, listen, let's start off with acknowledging that the perspective is needed and it means nothing until we do it against Brisbane. We'll get to that, I promise. But for right now, we're going to review this game and then we'll get to Brisbane. So round 7 versus West Coast. Those of you playing along at home, three words to summarize this game in round 7 as Pommy and I open up the chat. Mate, what was round 7? What did it stand for? What did it mean?
It was West Coast get battered everywhere they go, wasn't it, really?
everywhere they go.
I mean, you've got to put it in perspective, right? I mean, you know what, actually, fuck it, don't put it in perspective, because, I mean, when we're talking about our blue boys, we can play sides with 42 injuries and make it a task, make it laboured. It was a little bit of ruthlessness from the boys, which we haven't seen. And I think if you look at things that are non-linear, things that you can't count, there was little things. Mr. Chincotta pushing Shannon Hearn in the first 2 minutes into the boundary for no reason. There was little things like that, that Cout and Kane, not to play a game of football, they came to set a standard. And the best stat I can give you guys is, I like David King talking about Cowton because he made this little quip, right? And I'll give you the quip here. He goes, Cowton don't have an intercept game. In fact, you can't play finals. You can't even get to finals because their intercept game is non-existent. And Cowton set, actually, it's a club record in modern day football. 85 points from intercepts this week. And what's interesting about that was how they played. Rocco touched on it a little bit. I think everyone did in the fan cams. A little bit of how Cowton kept trying and they didn't get punished. So they kept trying and they kept trying and they kept trying. And eventually it got into that second half, which was a real delight for me, was where we usually see this side, North Melbourne last year, GWS last year, you saw Cowton destroy a side, but then stop out of nowhere. This time we actually saw them go up to that next level of a little bit of arrogance crept in, a little bit of competitive spirit, and they just, like Gav says, they were relentless. And that turnover game, they've learned a lot this week, that it has to be aggressive, it has to be bold, you have to counterpunch with aggression. And to be fair, seven players this week played themselves into form, which we haven't seen yet. And that's a good sign for next week. And it gets tougher. I'm not downplaying it. Next 4 weeks are fucking mighty tough. But these boys have got a nice little build-up. Brisbane next. Brisbane travel like a Guinness. Absolutely fucked. And then after that, it gets a little bit harder. So take this. Enjoy it. Fans, same energy. I expect the fans with the same energy they had 5 minutes to go with that Eagles game to be that energetic in the Brisbane game underneath the lid at Marvel Stadium on Friday evening.
Yeah. Yeah, there's levels to the win. I mean, if we categorize pre-game, even on the show last week, if we categorize it, you know, a lot of the conversation was around we need to put them away and it needs to be 10 goals. It needs to be 10 goals plus. It was more than 10 goals. And yeah, you touched on it. Gavin touched on it. I saw a few words in here from the chat around that ruthlessness, the relentlessness. And yeah, this is a group that in games where we've played the real bottom, like there's bottom teams and then there's teams that are really struggling. Even if you look at the Eagles last year, these are games where we don't have that full focus for four quarters. We allow them to come into the game. Now, what does that all actually mean? Don't know yet. We will find out in the next couple of weeks, no doubt about it. But yeah, there was a real purpose and a point to prove to themselves, it seemed. And there was a real desire and a drive to do it the right way and not let up for any moment. And yeah, you touched on it just then as well. The way we kept, you could see shades of St. Kilda at the start of the game where we would use the corridor, but maybe just not hit that target or just be a little bit to the left of a teammate or just behind the teammate. And then we kind of kept trying until we got it right. And then once we got it right, it didn't stop. So I'm hoping that was just something they needed to visualize for themselves to say, okay, this is what it looks like when it works.
Mate, spot on. And there's something that I always get excited about. I want to take you on a little journey. It was this time last year that I had a beer, very fortunate, with Jacob Wietering at a function. Yeah. And I remember him saying that the final stage of this group, in his opinion, and he used the phrase, the final psychological hurdle of this group is to beat a side by 12 goals. Mm. And he used the figure 12. He said it was real big win. So they knew they could do it. And he explained to me when I asked, what's he mean by that? He said, it's like kind of a transition from that happening to us on a weekly basis to us being able to inflict that damage on someone else. It's the kind of the final psychological block. And when people talk about St. Kilda, they talk about GWS and they talk about North. I don't want to make excuses because I think I'm quite consistent. I never make excuses for these boys. I try and hold them to account when I can. But you look at the first half against St. Kilda, Cowton finally managed to get some stoppage scores and some clearance scores. They were plus 38 at that stage. You talked about the transition and the intercept game and being more bold. Cowton conceded 5 goals, 3 from inside 50 entries. So it kind of, when we were on top, out of nowhere, we got battered on the way back. And you can see how that deflated the confidence. You saw it against GWS, counting with Donovan around transition, D50 scores. But they kept getting caught on the counter and it never allowed them to get any momentum. And unfortunately, this group, as soon as negativity appears, they cower. We go down the wing and we talked about it in the player ratings. First 10 minutes, you saw the boys go down the wing. You saw that very tentative approach. And then they kind of started to come out of their shells. Kemp did it first. McGovern did it. Then Saad did it. And then the boys started to build. And towards the end, that fourth quarter, where we usually switch off, and that's probably something that we've done in all of our plus 40 wins since Vossi, where they kind of just cue in the racket almost. You found that they went up another gear, which for me is incredibly, incredibly important moving forward, because that is what you need to do in games versus the proper teams. When you play Brisbane, you've got to be able to have that endeavour. It's not going to go right 24-7, even without Rich and Zorka. When you play doggies, it's not going to go right 24-7. You're going to have that moment where you go, fuck it, we're going to go hard, even though we've got our backs against the wall. And if you watch Adelaide versus Collingwood last night, you saw the difference of what we did versus what they did. Do you know what I mean? They managed to keep their chances, make it tight, even though they were getting battered, kept it within 2-4 goals, which is manageable. And then when they had that gear, they were bold and they risked losing that game in that fourth. And that's something that this side will eventually get the confidence to do. And I'm quite excited just because of what Wietering said that to me and said that he doesn't think we'll ever be the finished article until they can do that, because that's a mental block. So for a captain to say that, I imagine he's speaking for the entirety of the group when he said that.
Yeah, that's it's an interesting point. And Wietering is someone that hasn't experienced that. Well, sorry, none of them have. Not one player in this group has ever experienced anything like that. It's just the big question mark around what is it going to mean? But maybe it's looking too far ahead. Maybe it's more about staying in the moment. But look, it was pleasing. It was pleasing. Not much more needs to be said about it. I'm curious, though, because I think when we lose a game, we turn straight to leaders. We turn straight to coach, which rightly or wrongly, it is what it is. When we win a game, that same energy doesn't come to the coach or the leaders. So I think there needs to be a moment just to acknowledge last week there were #SackVoss people out there. And that's okay. Everyone's allowed to say whatever they like and have an opinion. What did you think of Vossi and the way he coached the team and got them mentally prepared to keep going this week? And also back his guys in? Because we were all asking for 5, 6, 7 changes.
I think it shows his style of leadership first and foremost. I think he's obviously a guy that believes in showing faith, which in a way, when you go back to how Lee Matthews talks, his mantra, it's about empowerment. That was a big thing that Lee Matthews talks about in his On the Couch interview about empowering men, empowering his troops. So obviously that does it. I think he probably looked out this week as well, because the midfield is probably where it had fallen off all 6 games. And again, he's shown faith and they all had good games. The entire midfield group, no one comes out of that game with a poor effort. I will say this, though. I do find, and it has been this year a little bit more than I've ever noticed, and I don't know if that's because social media is getting more popular in Carlton, but there just seems to be a real... I'll just say it. A real disgusting mentality in the fan base at the moment of, this is what I said, I'm right. And you know, you've got to remember that. I mean, the way I approach this, doing my role, is I just give you my side of the opinion. Do you know what I mean? If I was going to do a video on all the times I'd be right, probably be a 10-hour documentary. Do you know what I mean? If I wanted to be like that. And there'd probably be a good 5-hour one of the things I got wrong as well. But it's about putting the ideas out there. And this is kind of what Selection Panel on my channel is about, but also what this show is about. It's about what happens in a football club, where Voss may go, you know what, Fisher needs dropping. And Hansen may say, well, no, actually, we think XYZ should happen. And XYZ happens and things like that. And there will be robust conversations. And that's healthy, because when you get that kind of discourse where I want this person dropped, I want this person to stay, I want this person to play, between you all, if your motivation is win a flag, win next game, that is the most important thing. So I want everyone to get into the mentality of when we win and when we lose, don't bag other people. Do you know what I mean? Especially, I would say, people who are putting themselves out there. Do you know what I mean? As well, putting that, because it takes. I've had a lot of people come up to me this week, particularly in the fan base, and feel like they had to apologise for saying danger game against Eagles because I take the piss out of it. And I nearly said it on my preview. Like, honestly, I don't care.
You might have.
I used my private school education there to dance around saying it. But do you know what I mean? It's a beautiful game, and it's our game, and it's our football club. So I want everyone in the chat just to think, whatever your opinions are, do you know what I mean? That's good. Because as long as your motivation is winning a flag, everything is brilliant. Everything is right if that is your motivation. But it's about learning to have that robust conversation without resorting to, I'm perfect, you're a dickhead, you're a moron. Because trust me, when I first came into this industry with Terry, the amount of times people said he's a pommy nose, fuck all about football, do you know what I mean? Used to wind me up, do you know what I mean? When I saw some of the comments then people were putting out. So just remember that. A little bit of karma about it.
Yeah, I mean, we're a frustrated fan base, no doubt. We're a fan base that is heavily frustrated. We're a fan base that is probably a little traumatized because we saw a failed rebuild with the one with, you know, Murphy, Judd, Gibbs, etc. Like, that completely didn't bring us anything other than a final win against the Bombers. And I don't know if you want to count 2013, but let's do it. Okay, two finals wins for an entire plan. So there's a bit of pain, there's a bit of frustration, and I don't. As frustrating as it makes me at times for some of the things I see, I also, at the end of the day, I eventually get there and I realize, look, everyone has a right to be angry with this club because it hasn't delivered for so long. And the 2 weeks before round seven, we're starting, even myself, I mean, you and I chat offline a lot. Mate, I was in a world of pain, you know, and then we get to team selection on Thursday and it's like, oh my God, we're panicking. We're rushing Doc back. We're rushing Saad back. It shows weakness. You know, the discussion from the club was, hey, we need these two because they're our two of our better ball users in the back half that we rely on, especially Saad. So it's funny what a win does. It's funny what it does for the emotions. And I wish I wasn't so caught up on having my emotions dictated to by the win and the loss. And I'm working on it. You know,
we probably have the most robust conversations. Like, honestly, chat, Terry was down last couple of weeks. Terry was down last couple of weeks, man. And tell you what, between you and me, it was fucking hard work to deal with. But me and Terry disagree a hell of a lot off camera. But I don't think we've ever resorted to name calling. So, like, I don't mind you being angry at the club. In fact, I implore you to be more angry at the club. In my opinion, I think people have been way too fucking lenient with the club over the last 10 years, because I've had my fill of it. My thing is, and I've noticed this, just say this is Uncle Pom giving a big Uncle Pom love to everyone in chat. Just be very careful when you start potting each other, right? Because once they're separated, once you start dissing each other, that's very easy for the club to control a counter positive image. If a fan base is fractured, look at Manchester United. It's very fucking easy to keep being shit because they can distract that. So for me, it's very important that you focus on the club. And if someone says something like, oh, XYZ needs to come in or XYZ should be done, try and have an intelligent response as opposed to going, this guy's a fucking idiot. Because I've seen that a lot on socials this last couple of weeks. You're an idiot. You're a disgrace. You shouldn't be a fan base to each other. And honestly, I can cope getting dicked by 100 points by GWS every day of the week. I can't cope being one of the content creators for a fan base that does that. That is embarrassing to me. not losing by 100 to GWS. I can cop that. So just remember that, because that is what we're about as a football club. We should be passionate. I like fan cams. I like, watch me on the watch along. I'm a fucking idiot. Do you know what I mean? That's emotion, though. There's a difference between emotion and being offensive to each other.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. It's a good point. You know, we're all on the journey of existing, and social media and the internet has really evolved the way that we communicate with each other. And, you know, we're in an age where the value of your oneself can sometimes be tied to the attention that they get. It's very easy to get sucked into the trap of believing you're something that you're not based off the attention you get on social media. So no, it's a good point to bring up. But back to the game. let's finalize it with, I want to do quickly the votes, because I'm interested to see where everyone's head is at with the game. Also, because it's so hard to give 3, 2, and 1, but I'm going to ask you all to type in the chat your best on ground for 3 votes, 2 votes, and 1 vote. And then, Pom, I'm going to ask you to bring up maybe a storyline that you'll take out of this game moving forward. So why don't we start there? Give me your storyline, or sorry, give me your votes, and everyone in the chat will get theirs up as well.
1 vote, Patrick Cripps. 2 votes, Nick Borderline Boring Newman. 3 votes, long live the king, Charlie Kerner. And if you haven't got Charlie Kerner, 3 votes, ignore what I've just, that monologue I just said. You're a fucking idiot. Jokes, jokes. If you haven't got it, that's okay.
I was the exact same. I went Cripper with the 1, Newman with the 2, and Charlie with the 3. Can we talk a bit more about Nick Newman and the season he's having? Because I know it's only 7 rounds in, but he's shown, this is the best I've seen him play ever.
He's honestly Magnolia Paint in a rental property.
Yeah.
Absolutely boringly consistent, isn't he? Every Australian living room up and down the country that is on the market at the moment has that fucking shade of monotony, that mahogany paint. What the fuck is that about? But he's like that, isn't he? Like, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I remember we did our 22, and there was a lot of people who didn't have him in the 22, and we were talking about this. High ceiling, high floor, man, high floor. Yeah. And that's what I love about him. I would love us to... Zach Fisher, I've talked to Terry about this. I would love Zach Fisher to add elements of that role where he's just monotonous at times. If Zach could get that, and I think he can, if he makes it a bit more boring, his game, that would be great. If we could get 6 out of 10s like that from Fish and another 4 guys, fuck me, this would be a really good side. And that's what I love about Newman. He sets the standard, and his standard is doing all the basics okay. He's one of them players, green tick, green tick, green tick, green tick, green tick for everything, but nothing's elite. It's just very good all the time. And that's, I love him. You don't shit yourself, do you? When the ball comes over and you see Nick Newman's under it, you don't shit yourself. You're like, okay, that's going to be dealt with.
Yeah. Well, he's added a real, no, he's always had an offensive flair to his game. Let's be truthful. He came into the club as a guy that was going to be a solid senior guy for the group, very young as a group when he came to the club. He suffered some really nasty injuries as well along the journey. So it's just good to see these types of players who probably aren't the first choice name when you're talking to people and you're like, all right, who are the better players at Carlton? So to see a defender, to see a guy, you know, who gets named in the back pocket at times, plays on small forwards, dangerous small forwards at times, plays on Toby Green, these types, to see him have the impact in a game, not just in round 7, but the entire year. Yeah, I like that these guys are starting to really get some spotlight. So good on him.
Mate, I love Newman. I love Newman, and it's great. It's great to see him get a little bit of respect from outside of Carlton, I know we're very good at raising people up. And Brody, I know Brody follows the game at a junior level like I do. His story into the AFL, if you get a chance to see it, his article is on the Carlton website.
Yeah.
To be told he's not going to make it, to have to piss off and play lower league football. There's a great bit where he has a conversation with his mum where his dad's talking about maybe you learn a trade, maybe the sands of time are ticking on, and his mum said, no, I believe in you, one more year, son, one more year. And the whirlwind he had playing a granny at state level, going over to Sydney, and then he talks about being told he's going to be cut quite early doors by Sydney. They were quite open to it, saying the conversation he had with Soss, where Soss was like, look, we're shit. And how he talked about his honesty, that he was a bit of a arrogant bastard at Sydney, maybe set a bad example and saw the opportunity to come to a rubbish team like Carlton and be part of the rebuild, being a senior figure, was a chance of reinventing himself and growing as a man and growing as a leader with a club that's growing as well. It's a beautiful story, and you can see why he is like he is, because he plays like, words are cheap, but you could see from that conversation why he must be very inspirational to be around. Because imagine if you're a young draftee, Nick Newman's probably done all the stupid shit you're thinking of doing. And he's a good example. Absolute great human, but he'll be a great dad. Well, Nick Newman, I can just tell the way he speaks, he'll be a phenomenal pop.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we judging Harry Mackay a little too harshly? Are we looking at brain fades in a game that he has potentially, or a lack of confidence that he has with his set shot routine? And are we looking at that, you know, 30 to 45 second highlights package of his not so great moments in a game of four quarters, and then blanketing the entire way we view his game as not good enough? Because I saw the coaches' votes. You got to vote for the coaches' votes. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Voss gave him the vote. Oh, who knows? Doesn't matter. He got a coach's vote. Nobody on the fan cams, even myself, I missed it. Nobody talked about him having Barris on him, taking Barris up the ground. Again, no one gave Voss credit for that as well. So are we a little too harsh on Harry? And we just looking at these little brain fades and then blanketing his game and saying, nah, he's not playing well? Because I think he's still impacting games in other way. Still with room for improvement, granted.
I think if he wasn't there, Charlie would have had three.
Agreed.
And that's the risk you have. I think it's a little bit like the Levi Casbolt conversation that we used to have, that people used to maybe look at Harry and Levi and go, he's a shit goal kicker. But when Charlie started to play with him, when Harry started to play with him, they would be thankful there was a big, cumbersome bloke just to take one player, because we've seen how easy it is to double team players, and teams have done it. And we're very lucky that Charlie and Harry both have history of being double teamed and taking the piss. We're very fortunate. I think Harry's a victim of his own standards. And I think if you sat Harry down, he would probably be a bit upset with himself, with the goals he's kicked. And I think he would be. And the criticism I've seen, I don't think it's bad. I think it's that we know he can kick 60, 70 goals, and so can Charlie. And let's be honest, take the role out, he's missed some fucking sitters. But yes, that's form-based. Do you know what I mean? That's form-based. And this weekend, he could kick seven, and it's okay. But take away the goals. That goal, if you go back and watch the goal that Harry took where he goes bounce, bounce, takes it, watch Harry in that passage of play. Harry's like that, and he's got Barras, and also they've thrown Waterman back, and he's stopping Waterman. So that allows him to go there. That allows Charlie to take that mark. The mark where Mr. Durden takes the screamer, Harry makes a dummy run into the pocket, which takes two defenders to him, which allows Harry to circumnavigate to centre-half forward on his own with a small on him. SPS is on him. Remember him. And do you know what I mean? So there is them things as well. There is them things. SPS, what's going on with that fucking lid, mate? But I do think the criticism from Carlton fans, if I was Harry, I'd see that. I haven't seen any criticism like he's shit. Trade him. I've seen criticism that he should be kicking more goals. And I think that's a fair assessment. Harry probably has the yips. I think Jimmy H is right. It does look a bit disjointed. My criticism this week was I feel like he's got inside his head from the media here, because he did the drop punt out of nowhere after going around the corner and kicking the goal. Feels like something is in there. And listening to Voss was very similar of that school, that he's working really hard. He just needs to find himself again. And my message to Harry is this weekend at Marvel, mate, stick two fingers up at everyone who says, just kick drop punts. Just fucking go around the corner. Kick six. Yeah. Get it back, bruv. Because you go back to when he kicked and won the Coleman, 90% of them were around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, I think Voss summed it up last week in the press conference. They asked him about Harry, and he said, I think Harry's going okay. And I think it's a fair... I think he's going okay. He's probably good, not great. I don't know. I looked at it, and I think we missed a little something with him and what he was able to do for the team. If you notice throughout press conferences and you notice the values of the club, the word humility starts to get thrown out a little bit. And I like it. I like it. I like that Voss uses it in his press conference. I like that Charlie had it in the post-game presser when they were asking him a post-game, you know, interview on the ground, where they said, oh, did you want the 10 though? Did you want the 10? And he really genuinely deflected away from himself. And, you know, he said, oh, it was good for Durst to get some confidence. You know, Harry, you know, it's Harry's turn next week. Like these little things, Harry, you know, playing a bit of a selfless role, getting away from the 50 to allow Charlie to do his thing. I just think these types of behaviors need to be highlighted a little bit more than what we do right now. Because they're championship habits.
I think the championship habit as well you talk about is, I was listening to Steph Curry a couple of months ago talking about giving up easy threes and handing he called it handing the dimes out, saying that it's a marathon. And everyone needs to get into form, and it's important that everyone gets into form. And Sam Walsh, a lot of people criticised him for his turnover game, particularly in the fourth. But you watch him, his turnovers were trying to kick to Harry, trying to kick to Fish, trying to kick to Honey. He was actively doing that, what Charlie did, thinking the team thing, thinking we're 70, 80 points ahead. We can't lose. Let's try and get these guys deep. Let's try and get these guys into a little bit of form. And end of the day, Harry's game last week, I gave him, what was it, a 5 in player ratings? Can't remember. I think it was. And like I said, I think it's average. I thought his game was average. That is the minimum I expect for Harry to do. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Couple of goals, do what he does. To get the 7, 8, 9, he's got to kick 5 goals. And that is coming together. That'll happen. He's far too fucking good to not kick 5 goals again. I think the media are playing this up more than the fans, and the fans are copping the heat. The shit I see in the media about him, you know, is it good enough? I read an article the other day. Is it maybe time count and think about maybe offloading one of the key toes? Like, come on. He's still kicked a fair few goals this year.
Yeah, it'll come. He works too hard for it not to come. One more question. Brody Kemp. I when I think of how he played on the weekend, I know it was against West Coast, I know. But first game back for a while, he's been playing really good footy in the twos. He's a guy that would, he's a first round pick. What was he, a top 5 pick before he did his knee in that draft year, right? Projected. When I think of what Caleb Marchbank is at his best, I saw it in Brody Kemp on Saturday night. I'm curious to see. I think that was the type of confidence, the way he played with that confidence. That's the type of performance that it's a real eye opener for me. I haven't seen him play with that much confidence in his body ever. So I think we found a little something there for the rest of the year.
I have not seen a beautiful hero. Our first draft profile, it was him, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
I haven't seen him play like that since Bendigo days, to be honest. A guy that really enjoyed his game. The beautiful thing about him over Marchbank is Marchbank's very late to read the ball. Mm. You watch Brody Kemp, he is one of them intercept marks. He led the team in intercept marks, but in the second quarter, he takes a mark. Well, go back and watch. It's about the 5 minute point in the second. And he runs from a pocket to a pocket and he's read that play. He's left his man for dead, right? And that's the difference of Brody Kemp. Brody Kemp's football IQ makes Marchbanks laughable, in all fairness. Marchbank is very reactionary. Kemp is a pure IQ reader. And that's why there was that talk about him being a midfielder, right? And that came from Soss. That didn't come from Bendigo. But Bendigo played him in the midfield to help with his versatility and his draft profile. But he was a backman who happened to go forward when they had injuries. But you look at how aggressive he is, and I really like the McGovern-Kemp combination. And I think Voss may have shown you something there, because the Marchbank-McGovern combination was seen last year, back end of last year. There is definitely an argument for both of these to play. And modern day football, one thing David King's right, turnover transition is very important in today's game. And both of them, I reckon you can get them in the same team. So, especially with Mr. Sam going forward. So, I really liked his game and I'm glad you brought him up.
Yeah. Any other storylines from the game before we move on?
It's the coronation this weekend. But as far as I'm concerned, as a representative of the homeland, King's already been crowned. Long live the King.
First time anyone's kicked more than 8 goals at Optus Oval. Optus Stadium, not Optus Oval. Many people kick 9 at Optus Oval. Yeah, he's special. He's special. And he has the humility as well. He's a mature performance from Charles.
Can we just give some credit to Charles as well? Just give some credit. Every fucking step that bastard takes is a miracle, really. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a miracle. And we know I love Charlie. Like, I would say probably rivaling his mum. I'll probably love him more than his dad, I reckon. But just less than his mum. Mums love you a little bit more than pops do. But I tell you what, fuck me. It's great to have him, isn't it? And I know Geelong fans are in my DMs at the moment because I made some comments about Jeremy Cameron asking, does he play for Torquay United? But fuck me, what a player he is. What a player. Yeah. Like, we're looking at someone that when we have grandkids, we'll be talking about him to them.
We will. We will. And we're also going to wrap up round 7. There it is, in a nice little bow. It's done. All right. So, what's next? Can we talk about the VFL?
Oh, the Harley Reid show. Oh, no, you want to talk about Carlton players.
We can talk about the VFL. Corin, love your boys. Get the fuck up for some AFL 23 content from these lads. Fingers crossed. Keep well, boys. Thanks, Corin. Superstar. Pommy will be leading the charge of AFL 23 content. I can guarantee you that. Pommy, VFL, I watched 3/4 of it. And then I started watching the AFL. But you're probably a bit more, you know, more well-versed to talk about it than me. What happened from a standpoint of who put their hand up for selection? Because from what I saw, it was, I liked Binsey again, I'll tell you that.
It was a tough one. I mean, let's touch on Dal first, because you all want to talk about that.
Let's touch on Dal. Let's do that. I can't wait to have this discussion.
All right. When you see what the club want, and we've got to look at it that way, that they want continuity, especially in the engine room, which is understandable. If you go back and watch that game, and I want you to be really harsh, think about it from Voss's point of view. The only person you can drop for him is Hewitt or Cripps. That's the position they play. And then go and watch Hewitt now he's found form. Because that was our big issue with Hewitt. He was out of form. Look at Hewitt this week, which is probably the similar level that Dow played. In fact, probably a little bit more difficult. That's probably been harsh to WA. Footscray are a really talented football side. If you go and watch Dow, in the first half, you'll see why Voss would rather give a chance to Hewitt to find form, why he'd give a chance to them players. And that's because although he finds the ball, blazes away, his transitional running this week was shocking as well. When you look at how Hewitt runs back, really shocking. And if that happened in the AFL, Carlton would effectively be one down in the way that their midfield runs. And that's no knock on Dow. I just think you found where Dow is. And I think when Hansen said we may have to find another role for him, I think that's the only thing, because honestly, I always try and give Dow a bit of love. I think it's important that we remember he's on our list. But I think if we're honest with the five guys that are out there, there's only two he can replace. And you know what I feel about Hewitt, even though he's been out of form, in my opinion, I'll stand by it. Hewitt is still the most important player in Voss's system, as proved this week when he's playing well. You see a difference. And there's no way that Cripps will ever come out of that side. So for me, you've got to play him to his one wood, and that's what Voss is doing. And unfortunately, that one wood is nowhere near the Hewitt level. So I think enjoy St. Kilda next year, Paddy Dow.
Yeah, I think last week I got sucked in, for sure. I got sucked into what everyone else was saying. And then I watched him closely. And this is not a personal knock on Paddy. I actually love Paddy. He was the first or the second player interview that I did on the channel. But the issue I have with him is I watch him there and he's in the VFL, so it's a grade below. And if you just look at the stats, you see 25 touches, 7 or 8 clearances. Even before that, he was hitting 40s, and that's great. That is a level that he hasn't been doing consistently in the VFL for a while. But the ball use is still an issue. The burst is there. It's there, but the ball use is still an issue. We already have an issue with ball use in the side. So he's found himself in a tough spot. Do you think he'll play this year?
It's a marathon. I hope he doesn't. I hope he doesn't, in the terms of if he does play, there'll be a big injury. There'll be a big injury crisis, because you've seen what happens. Kennedy goes to the Hewitt role. My standpoint over the last 2 weeks were Kennedy had the corky a couple of weeks ago. Then last week he was playing half back. Midfield, Hewitt looked, as we all did, out there. No Doc, and Doc is the directness in the midfield. If you saw this week, what Dow brings, Doc brings, because he's very direct and with the ball. And that's what we were talking about with Dow. So now they're back. No, and I think the only way you can do it is you play him somewhere else and hope he finds a position. So, like, unfortunately, yeah, it's not good enough. It's good enough to make a stand, but I think if we've got to continue with our best 22. And you know what? Having heard Hansen, I know some people have said it's lip service and stuff. I disagree. I just think you're saying it's lip service because it's not what you want to hear. I think Hansen is right. The top teams don't change their engine room, and that is our engine room.
Yeah. What about Binns, Carroll, these guys?
TDK, he had his concussion halfway through, passed his concussion test, came back on for a wee bit, and then went off. He was incredibly disappointing, though, because he was playing in the ruck and got absolutely monstered by Darcy when he played in the ruck. And then when he went full forward, he kicked his goal well. He was a little bit disappointing because he should be at this stage a clear level above. But I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt for 1 week. Binns continues to impress. His impressive part from me from watching the draft to now and watching a lot of him as a kid is how hard he works on defensive transition, how hard he works. And that was his knock pre-draft. If he had put the body of work now, easily would have been a top 20 pick. Easily would have been a top 20 pick because he's working overtime on that. He was insane. He was insane, Binns. I'm very impressed by him.
What is the situation that needs to happen for him to play? Is it when Hollins doesn't play? Sorry, is it when Hollins and or Akers don't play? Because I mean, we get creative. They might get creative, and you know, this is all just chat. So I don't know where it's going to happen. But if you look at what we've been speaking about with players coming in and only playing that certain role, like he's playing along the wing. So what much more does he need to do to play, or does he just have to wait for his opportunity?
There'll be a point that they have to rest Hollins, because it's common in development. There's already talk at Brisbane of resting Ashcroft, and he's pick one. There's already talk of, you know, of Sheasel, and their coach came out, Clarko, and said that there will be a point where we have to recycle him, give him a little bit of a break. Very important for Hollins' development, like Cowan, which I stand by. I think it's good that Cowan's going to have a couple of weeks off. So probably there'll be a chance there. Do you know what I mean? There'll be a chance of Binsey coming in to replace Hollins for a couple of weeks. It's going to be interesting, because I don't think that if you watch Binsey, it is 90% wing, 10% high half forward that he rests, same as when he was in juniors. So I can't see them bringing him in, say, for a Fisher or a Honey at high half forward. I reckon that we're starting to see. No, but I think we're starting to see. You know what turns me on? We're starting to see the club stick by what they say and like for like. And that is so important, because everyone always brings up, oh, well, Liam Jones. You actually go back to Liam Jones's draft year, he was a swingman who rested and spent most of his time forward, but did play down the back. And key position, very common, they switch place, because you're either good in the air or good at scoring goals. Generally in the outfield,
yeah,
you know, and it's usually desperation stakes if your position is changed, because like Blake Akers, you're not good enough to play half back. They move you to the wing.
This is a good point you bring up, because, you know, we've been doing this for a while. How many conversations do we have from 2019 all the way through to 2021? Or let's say 18 through to 21, where we were talking about why are we not at a point where we're bringing in players to play certain roles? We were bringing in players and just fitting them in there just to get them games and get them experience. Dow on half forward flank as an example. All of a sudden, the club are playing and bringing in players only to play specific roles. The amount of times I saw Bins in for Fisher, I'm going to blow up. Selection integrity has been hijacked. The phrase has been hijacked, to the point where people are asking for those who are playing well in the VFL to just be put anywhere on the field. And that's where we got it wrong a few years ago. Centre field, case in point, inside midfielder in the VFL. Once he came up to the AFL, he was played on the wing. He wouldn't perform because that's not where he was playing. I like what we're doing here. We're making it harder to get a game in the ones. I don't believe personally a guy like Josh Honey, for example, is in form at all. But I can respect the fact that they're sticking to the structure of the team. And at the moment, there just isn't a player in the twos that plays the Josh Honey, Matt Owies role. So why do we want to change that up now? Why do we want to go backwards and put players out of position just so they can get a game? Why do we do that? I'm really curious.
Well, you saw the club do the hand. Fogarty travelled. So Fogarty's playing 70-30 forward midfield. So that happens. Then you look down, you look at the defence. The only time that they've done it, I can see some people talking about Bam Bam. The only time they've done it, it's interesting when you look at that, because that's probably the anomaly there, but there is no halfbacks who are fit in there. And if you actually go through Kennedy, although Kennedy played the majority of it, it's interesting. Champs Data would have a good argument for Hewitt to be now registered as a defender, because up until that point, he was 40-60, and it's 50% is the threshold. So Carlton had to manufacture something there, which, did I like it? Not really, but Matt Kennedy is the anomaly. But like we said, the club has been honest about his Corky, that he wasn't training with the midfield group that week that he played down back. So that's probably something injury-related. But it's spot on what you say there, Terry, because people might have the argument of you've got to play the form players. I disagree, because if your form player is Kemp, but let's just say we had 8 backmen, would you bring Kemp and play him in the midfield? Play a midfielder down? Less rotation? It's quite a set system, and it's the same with Geelong. It's the same with Sydney. These players spend a lot of time at juniors, and if you go and watch junior football like I do, I was watching the under-14s this week. I went with a mate to go and watch some under-14 college football with him. And yeah. It's quite interesting. Every 10 minutes, a forward will go down to defence. A midfielder will go and play halfback. Halfback will go and play forward. And that is the year that they play every role and that they constantly flux. And he was saying, usually by this time next year, these guys will only play two positions. And then the next year, they'll play one position full time. So versatility is important. But at this level, the versatility comes in from the list manager. And they should be players, which, if you look now with fitness, we should have a real tough selection in 2-3 weeks' time, particularly if Connors gets through the next couple of weeks.
Well, that's what I'm excited about. As we enter this 6-week stretch, Connors, Boyd, Martin, Cottrell, I think over the course of the next 3 to 4 weeks, those four guys are going to be available. Then the discussion will come up. All right, Fish, how are you going? If you're not going as well as what we need you to go, okay, Cunningham might play that role. Jack Martin will play that role. So, yeah, just bugged me this week a little bit. We can't play bins for Honey. As much as I agree that Honey's probably a bit out of form, out of touch, you can't just bring bins in and just reshuffle it all around. We're actually, for the first time in a while, sticking to what we are trying to do. And that needs to be highlighted. So,
Terry. Terry. Uncle fucking Terry. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it when you get up and about.
No, mate, it's just pissed me off. Just wanted to say it. No, it's fine. Let's do a vibe check. So 7 rounds in. A vibe check of where we're at. 7 rounds in. Those of you playing along at home, grade the season out of 10 so far. Pom, vibe check. Where are we at? Grade it out of 10.
5.5.
Yeah, I had it at 5. Just a bare pass mark. Just a bare fucking pass mark.
Me higher rating than Terry. Fuck, something's going on.
Something's going on. I see a lot of 4s, a lot of 6s, 7, 6. Yeah, I think we probably were at a 4 before round 7. And then watching us do what we did on Saturday night bumped it up to a pass mark for me. Just so my next question is, by the way, we're going to go after 8 o'clock. We're just hanging out a little bit tonight. We're going rogue. My next question is the next 4 games. Let's break it down into the next month of football. So Friday night Brisbane, followed by the Dogs, followed by Collingwood. Followed by Sydney. So what is the expectation, the pass mark? I want to get a bit of a check on everyone's pulse for the next month. What do you think we need to be sitting here talking about in 4 weeks around the next 4 games?
Fuck, it gets serious, doesn't it, when you look. Well, so the next 4 games.
Brisbane, Dogs, Collingwood, yeah. Sydney. How many wins next over the next game. 4? Pardon?
Next 4, if 3-1.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, 3-1. I think this week has to consolidate what round 7 was for me. Crucial. The Doggies is going to be a good match because we generally, you know, anecdotally speaking, we play well against them. Collingwood, we're not fucking losing 3 in a row to them, are we? We're not sitting here watching that again, are we, in at this point? We have to beat Collingwood because I also have a feeling Collingwood's a bit of a mental barrier for the team, just slightly. So there's that. And then Sydney, who knows, SCG, anything can happen. But I'm with you. I want 3. 3 is the pass for me. I think on face value you would say 2-2, but I'm there with you on the 3.
Mate, you know when people say, like, this is like a danger game, this is like historically a poor fixture for us. Like, newsflash, like, last 10 years, we've been bottom 4. Do you know what I mean? Consistently, apart from a couple of seasons there, here and there. So, like, for me, it's now time to, at the risk of using a Voss word, change the narrative. Change the narrative. Yeah. Like new things happen. So now when we next have our 100-point win, let's hope we're talking about a 100-point win this year or maybe next year, and we can say, fuck, do you remember 1st of May when we're all dancing around because we did the show? And it's actually a year ago. It's not like 10 years ago. So now it's it. And no Zorko, no Rich. Do you know what I mean? Brisbane are like Guinness outside of Ireland. It's dog shit. Carlton have got to go there. Brisbane have their moments at Marvel, yes, but this is a home game, right? And yeah, then let's start building some confidence. A team like Westcote and Western Bulldogs, they've been a bit like Carlton at the start of the year. Sometimes good, sometimes shit. People were sacking Beveridge round four. Do you know what I mean? If you watch Inner Sanctum, I did. Hi. whoops. But they're a side that struggles. And then you've got Collingwood. And do you know what I mean? Collingwood are suffering a little bit like what we suffered from at the same stage last year. Everyone's blowing smoke up their ass. Everyone believes in them, and quite rightly so. They're playing damn good footy. So why fucking not? Why don't we go there, you know what, and we have this show in 4 weeks' time and we're 3-1 or we're 4-0? Why don't we have that conversation? Because last week's pointless if we go through these next weeks 0-4.
Mate, this last week's pointless if we lose on Friday. That's where my head's at. I'm dead serious. Like, I don't not respect Brisbane. Brisbane will punish any turnover that we commit this week. No issue with that. They're a good side. They're a bona fide side, premiership contender, I would say. Had a poor performance this year, I think, early in the year, but they're real. And without Rich and Zorko, they're still a great side because they are a system based side. So I'm excited to put it all to the test. And see what it was all about last week on Saturday night.
Mate, they go back into their little mental headspace, and they've done this a lot of times. You know what I mean? Brisbane, they go into their little mental headspace and go, we beat sides for fun. Do you know what I mean? We beat sides for fun. We do this week in, week out. For us, that's something that's new to us. And this is why it's so important that we go into this game as a fan base, not shitting ourselves, not worrying about what if only, is going in there and saying, nah, we're going to fucking make a stand. We're going to fucking announce ourselves. We're going to announce ourselves. And like Gokken says, if it bleeds, we can kill it. In fucking deed, my friend. Why can't we win?
I want Friday night. I don't want to project, but I will. No, I'm going to project. Just got a feeling it'll be, I have this image of what we had round 10 last year against the Swans. It's kind of set up in a similar way. I really do rate the Lions, but I really do think we can get the job done. And I think Harry this week will be the story. I think Harry's going to give them a lot of issues.
And it's a very important game as well. It's Carlton Respects game. So
yes,
change the narrative. 0-7. But change the narrative on bigger things than that. Do you know what I mean? It's actually interesting. One of the schools, one of my young ones at, they actually have the program, Carlton Respects there. It's a school program, but do you know what I mean? 2.1 million men and women in this country last year experienced domestic violence towards a mother. Let that sink in. 2.1 million men or women, children, witnessed their mum being beaten up by someone. Just let that sink in. 2.1 million. It's a fucking lot of people, isn't it? Like, that alarmed me when my little one told me that. Jarve, that 2.1 kids his age have witnessed a person like me attack a person like my wife in front of their kids. That's a shocking statistic. So change the narrative, not just on that, but also on fucking things like that. This game's big. So let's go out there and fucking give Carlton Respect something to remember. Because I'm sick of seeing every game we lose, Carlton Respects. Well, you know what? We're about narrative changing this year. Correct. Well, that scared me, that 2.1. And I know some people close to me have been affected by that. I know one person on the show has been affected by that. And do you know what I mean? It's horrible, isn't it, Terry? Do you know what I mean? It's horrible. 2.1 million. Like, that's hard to... That's a lot of fucking people.
It's a lot of people. Yeah. Definitely something that I watched as a kid and my Carlton story and becoming a supporter of the club was based around escaping the home that I was living in as a kid. You know, my biological father, before he left, he was, you know, physically abusing my mother in front of me. And it was a dark time. I remember it really clearly. A 3-4-year-old shouldn't have clear memories like that. And going to the footy and watching Carlton play at Optus Oval was my first memory of getting away from that and the excitement. And that's what got me hooked. So it is an important cause. And yeah, I like what you touched on there. We are all about writing our own narrative. So don't let the 0-7 narrative become 0-8. Write a different narrative for sure. Like it's Doc's 150th game as well. That's a massive ornament of the club. It is the Carlton Respects game. We take a moment. We take a moment out of our obsession with this club and this sport and this game to acknowledge a serious issue in the world. You know, when you have a platform in this world, there is a responsibility to use it for good. So the club do a good job of doing that. We as a team need to do a good job of representing that cause and get the job done. I think that'll shut up the narrative around we only lose Carlton Respects games, because the reality is right now we have only lost the Carlton Respects game. So yeah, that definitely needs to be in our control this week.
I've got two things to say on that as well. I want you to think as well, even if you don't worship Carlton Respects, even if you don't believe in that cause, the person will stay quiet, but I want you to look at something that Terry said to me and something that has taught me something very, very wisely in my time here. But I received a message this week, and the guy will remain nameless, but there's someone who watches this show who just made me think of what Terry said. And this person went on to write to me saying, "Pommy bro, I just wanted to thank you for speaking to me on the phone. It's 5 weeks today that you did that, and I am now proudly 5 weeks sober." He goes on to say, "I appreciate your kindness when I was on such a low point. It really gives me faith in the Carlton community that there is always someone there, like you keep saying, that you can turn to. And not only did you keep telling me that there's people in this community that we can turn to, you also stuck by them words and were there for me. Much love, Pommy, and I'll be promise you that I will pass this on to other people and pay it forward like you asked me to." And just remember that what Terry's saying there is there's probably someone you're sat next to at the game who's going through some absolute shit stuff like Terry did as a kid, but we're all here for each other. So do you know what I mean? Even without Carlton Respects, that's just the message the club want, right? The message the club want to push that. But that doesn't mean that if you're part of the LGBTI community that you don't matter. If you're a straight white guy like myself, you don't matter. You've got to remember, when I first came in here, I was the Pommy guy who people didn't like. You welcomed me and you gave me place and purpose. And that made me a better father, a better husband, because you invited me into your family. You gave me place. You gave me roots. You gave me safety. You gave me identity. And that is so important. And that's what Terry has now. Look, from a young boy escaping something horrible at home, he now presents this show that unites thousands of people. And that's more important. So if you're one of them people that says something stupid, like this prick here, Hannah Jinx, this guy here, he doesn't need abuse. He doesn't need abuse from you guys in the audience. You know what he needs? He needs a hug. He needs a hug, because he doesn't get how important this community is. And that is bigger than you. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than one thing. It's all of us in it together, supporting these fucking idiots who drive us crazy every weekend. But we're united by each other. And just know, and I mean this, if you're suffering, please PM me. I worst I can do is listen, and best I can do is maybe sing you a song. Do you know what I mean? But we're a family. We're a family. That's important.
Well said, mate. Thank you. Well said. The best thing they can do this week is win. That's the best thing. Represent themselves, represent the cause, represent it all with a win. And let's get to Friday night and celebrate with a great fan cams. That's what I say.
Nice. You know what? I fucking hate the Lions as well.
I know.
There's just something about them. Do you know what I mean? There's something about the Lions that's just wankerish.
I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it is. The Lions are a really interesting team because if you just circle back 3 to 4 years, we were right there with them in our development. They were the young side, up and coming. We were there as well. We were right there. We fell off, clearly. They soared ahead, clearly. So I respect what they've done as being a good side, but it has irritated me for a while that they soared so far ahead of us when the narrative around the two clubs was that we were right next to each other only 3 to 4 years ago.
You know what? I remember that 2019 game. There's a passage of play where Cripps kicks his second goal and the commentator goes, "We'll be seeing this for a long time. Cripps versus Neil. These two could be the next future dynasty side." Little did we know that one went that way. But God. No, I agree with you, bro. I agree. I think it's probably that. I think it's maybe I'm that colour. Maybe my eyes are envious. But I this 4 weeks is going to tell us everything we need to know about this group of football teams.
Agreed. Wholeheartedly. Let's not talk changes because tomorrow night we'll discuss changes. So I will ask the audience, you can put your selection in the chat if you like. But tomorrow night, I'm jumping onto Pommy and Oz YouTube channel. I'm making my debut. And we're going to do the team selection show on the Pommy and Oz YouTube channel. So we're going to do our teams. I won't reveal mine just yet. But for those of you playing along at home, what would you do? What would you do with team selection this week? Would you make any changes? It's difficult to answer because we don't know who's definitely available. Like, I don't know what they're going to do with Boyd, Cottrell, these types. So let's see. Let's see what people think.
Well, I mean, if you're serious, you've got to drop Fisher and bring Dowin. Hey, bait! Welcome to Rex Hunt's Fishing Adventures with Pom.
No, you're gonna stir them up, and all of them are gonna agree with it. They're gonna jump on the out Fisher out train. And they're gonna say Boyd in, Fisher out, or Cockrell in, Fisher out. Nah.
Oh, sorry, I was just having fun. I've got to have my own fun somewhere.
Oh, can't believe it.
Such a tit.
It's good. The other issue from the week we should touch on, Jacob Wiedering. I'll be honest. My first reaction when I saw it, I giggled because I was like, this can't be true. This can't be true. It's Jacob Wiedering. And then as I read through it, I realized the reality of the situation. Like, it can happen to anyone. And my hope for Wieders is that speaking out about it, he's obviously been bottling it in for a while, and it's clearly affected him as it would affect anyone. My hope is that this was step one for him to get through it. I can't imagine what it's like to lose that amount of money. I don't know exactly how much it was. I know it was life savings. You put pieces together, highly paid football player, smart guy. He's not an idiot, doesn't go out every weekend. You know, I would assume he's got his head screwed on based on the way he carries himself. That's hard to talk about publicly. And I guess it got to the point where it was harder to keep it in. So I hope the weight of it is less each week that we go on. And I hope we get to see Jacob Wiedering back with full confidence, because it's retrospect's great. We can look back and we can say, yes, something's been off with him. And I'm curious if this has had something to do with it.
In a world where we're very quick to tell everyone how great we are, in a social media world that people would rather post that, you know, they got laid on Friday night than the Saturday morning that they bought a small bottle of whiskey and drank it alone to themselves, they'd rather show fake fugazis of who they are, talk big words under faceless profiles, than stand up and take a right hook like I was taught to do as a kid. If I wanted to be a big man, I'd go into the pub and slap the biggest guy with the baldest head. And that's how my pop used to tell me, if you want to be a man, go and prove that down the fucking bar, son. In a world where we are fake, Wietering is an example to everyone out there who's doing well in life. It's a lot more inspiring to come out and say, you know what, I did do something. And let's be honest, I mean this in the nicest possible way. It was probably a bit foolish. It was probably, I'm sure if you sat down with Wietering, I'm sure when he rang his dad was like, fucking hell, son. Fucking hell. Didn't you call the bank? Like, everyone's a general after you make a mistake. But I think the fact that we're getting celebrities coming out and telling us more about when they fuck up is massive if we're going to develop as a society. It's a lot more inspiring to me, Wietering coming out and saying, you know what, I did something a bit fucking stupid and I paid the price. And you know what, learn from my mistakes. And that's how we improve as a human, as society. We all make mistakes. I make a fucking load of them. Just go and ask my wife if you want to know a list of them. She has a book about them. So it's important that we do that for me. And you know what? That will have affected him. And you know what?
Yeah.
Fair play to you, brother. Fair play to your weights. And you know what? People are dickheads. Mate, times are hard.
We've been naive. I've been scammed twice, and it was out of my own foolishness. The first time I was 12 or 13, I bought a jumping program. I was playing basketball, and this was early days when I was on the internet for the first time. And I remember I wanted to jump higher so I could, you know, dunk one day. And I remember this guy was selling his 12-week jump program for $1. And I'm like, oh, it's a bargain. So I used mum's credit card and didn't know that there was a monthly fee that was coming out. And then many months later, if not a year later, there was thousands of dollars gone. So that was my first experience. And then the second one, I can't defend myself with my age, but I bought tennis tips from this guy and then he went running with the money, never saw it again. So mate,
It's not funny. The tennis tips part that tickles me. The tennis, just what an obscure fucking thing to bet on.
I know. I think I was like 20 or 21, I think. Got into this syndicate with a couple of mates. This guy was giving out tennis tips. He was hitting them a lot. We were following him. And then he started this system, and we paid for it. And thankfully it was between three of us and not just one. And never saw him again. He literally just disappeared. So anyway, the point of the story is we all fuck up, but not everyone tells people about it. So good on Wietering for getting it off his chest. And I hope it does something for his healing.
Mate, you'll be shocked. There was a scam going around, and it was what an immigration lawyer got hacked who handled my visas. And out of the blue, I got a phone call. This was going back about 4 years ago, from someone who sounded Aussie, saying that he could fast track the waiting list for literally your citizenship by going through him and filling out the paperwork, because he sounded so convincing in the terms of it is true. Citizenship's a pre-booked, the ceremony, you've got to have a booking ceremony, that costs money. He was saying that they had to fill a venue and they needed X, Y, Z, and he got your details from my immigration lawyer. And he'd convinced me it was only by chance I told my wife, and my wife was like, sounds a little bit weird that I haven't been emailed, because my wife was handling it. And he was saying, oh shit, an ex-employee was scorned and her partner took some emails on the laptop. Long story short, and you just never know, mate. You never know. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was speaking to someone. I buy a lot of gift cards for our channel to give away, and I always get asked, oh, have you been asked about a tax? Is this for tax payments? And I'm like, no, I'm not fucking 75. But the amount of young people that have been scammed who are 21, 22, and believe it, it's not as easy as it is. So I think I'm with you. It's really important that people talk out. And you know what? It's not just celebrities, though. Like, honestly, I see a lot of people in this chat who I know I know from working with young people on my channel, they see your names and you're kind of celebrities yourself, little chat. You're kind of celebrities because we see the same names. Just always remember that you could be someone's inspiration tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? It's easy trying to be perfect. Sometimes just think, what would Pom do? Do you remember them bracelets? What would Jesus do? Think, what would Pom do? And I self-depreciate a lot on this show, and I'm not ashamed of it. And so does Terry. We show you little bits of our soul, good and bad. Just think, you could be someone's inspiration tomorrow. And sometimes just admitting you fucked up. We've all had a laugh at Terry's tennis tips. Like, do you know what I mean? Fuck me.
Such a peanut. You have no idea. Such a peanut.
Well, but think about it now. How society's going. I did some weekly shopping. I keep budgets, right? I keep budgets, right? And I've been looking at how much we spend as a family over the last 4 or 5 years, and it is massively fucking gone up. Massively gone up how much shopping is. Be honest with yourself. People always find the easy ways to make money. And the amount of Bitcoin, the amount of investments that you see, it's a lot easier because people are desperate now. People are getting desperate. Do you know what I mean? Like, go to the shops on the self-scan. Here at Werribee, we've got cameras above you now, cameras below you, because I dropped my keys the other day, and the woman was like, oh, if you couldn't have found them, I don't want to open the thing to go underneath the case. I'll check the camera. And they had a camera underneath that showed my keys. I was like, fucking hell, over some bread. But that's how desperate people are. So be really careful out there because, you know, YouTubers, I'm sure Terry gets it. How many emails do you get a day from some Chinese company saying that you could be bigger than Mr. Beast?
We can increase your SEO. We can give you 100,000 subscribers. It's great. It's great. All right, so let's look ahead to the week. Now, the Jumper Punch tomorrow, 7 p.m., they have a new special guest. Take a look.
Hi, it's Vinny Cotoggio here from Carlton. If you thought me and Carlton were a good match, try schnitzels here at Northland.
Okay, we'll try it again.
Schnitzels.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay, we'll go again. Hi, Vinny Cotoggio here from Carlton. If you're around Snitz at Northland, I advise you to come and try it. And also, make sure you listen to the Jumper Punch, 7 o'clock Tuesday nights.
Yeah, even anyway. Better if you watch it.
Watch it.
Good on him. Vinny Cotoggio. I never watched him play, but I'm sure those who did have fond memories of him. So, the Jumper Punch tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Wednesday, a couple of things. We'll have the rest. We will have a team's up on Wednesday or Thursday?
Friday game, so it'd be Thursday, won't it?
Thursday. So, the rest on Wednesday night. The Besties. Can I just say, if you're not watching the Besties content, you're missing out. The girls are doing a phenomenal job. They really are. They do the Wandering Besties before the game and after the game, and they're having a ball. Their podcast comes out Wednesday afternoon as well. Pretty proud of what they've been able to do. Got more work to do, and they will. But they've put together a nice little army. They will also be at Marvel on Friday before the game. So if you do see them, make sure you go and say hello to them. They're killing it. They really are. Pommy, team selection stream tomorrow. Where are we watching it?
Pommy Noll's channel. Come and say hello to me. 6 o'clock tomorrow. You'll have the great man, Terry, debuts on his channel for the first time in like 2 years. So it's technically not a debut, but it is a debut.
It's a debut in the modern era.
It is staying in a modern era. We also have the usual messes, the Italian stallion Paolo, and we have the wonderful Ian Brownie as well on there, the Carlton rock star. So all four of us will be on there with the most important guest, number 5, the audience. You are the coach, so you get to choose the team as we debate it. So come on down there. We'll have a bit of a chat about it. It's all love and light there. It's all love and light. We have a good laugh down there.
Come and watch me lose my shit as Pommy tries to drop Zach Fisher for the third straight week. Nah, I'm going in. Gloves are off tomorrow. No one's dropping Fisher on my watch.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good one. Go Blues.
Go Blues.